Well, it's a blessing to be here and worship again this morning. Easter is a special time in our faith, a special time for thinking about the many blessings that we have because of the power of the resurrection. Well, I don't know how many of you, at least if you've done a little bit of helping out in homeless camps or going to inner city and spending any time in a big city, you're going to see some people along the street that have kind of a glazed look in their eye. You see some old lady, or maybe not so old, maybe a young lady. They have dirty hair and they look very unkept, and they might be pushing a little shopping cart with a few things in it, and they might be muttering to themselves, saying something, just kind of in their own little world. And if you'd ask them a question, they'll give you an answer that doesn't really make sense. You wonder what's going on. And they look kind of depressed. They may look like they're lacking sleep. And probably they're a slave to some sort of addiction, some drug addiction, something in their life. They may have some mental health issues, we would call it. And they look like they're constantly miserable. Well, we're going to look at a lady that was like that this morning. Her name is Mary Magdalene. She met Jesus and changed her life drastically. And I don't know, it was probably over a year ago, I did kind of a personal, and I thought maybe I was going to bring messages on the women in the life of Jesus, and this is one of them. There's just a few things to start out with. Magdalene is a town, Magdala, which is by the Sea of Galilee. I know most of you in the back can't see this, but it's a little wee town just south of Capernaum where she would have grown up. And just supposedly, the story is that, I won't find another place to work this in, that she had a house church there at her house that was served, I think it was clear into the second century that there was church there. So anyway, just a little side note. But this woman was devil-possessed. The Bible says that there were seven devils cast out of her, and we're going to read all of the accounts this morning. Mary Magdalene, and the idea of seven is the idea of completeness in the Bible. When we see seven, we see a complete, like she was totally possessed. She was beyond hope. The picture I painted for you of the person in the inner city is kind of what I would picture of Mary Magdalene. This lady that was almost helpless. She had been completely taken over, and she did not have the power to release herself. I don't believe there was a way that she could have gotten free. The devil had completely taken over her life. But Jesus had mercy on this lady. He saw something. He saw potential. We had this little discussion going the other Sunday morning about God loving the sinner but hating the sin. And this would be an example of someone that was probably at the lowest point, but Jesus still loved her and saw and had compassion on her and made a huge difference. And she became what I would say is probably one of the most loyal disciples that Christ ever had, at least in a woman anyway, that we have recorded in Scripture. And I hope to inspire you with her life this morning. She is mentioned more times than most of the disciples. You think about how many times Thaddeus is mentioned, it's twice. And I believe it's two times. One was whenever he asked how you're going to manifest yourself unto us and not into the world, I think is the only thing. But anyway, that's beside the point. The point is we have a good bit of information on Mary Magdalene. We want to start in Luke chapter 8. Good to do a good bit of scripture reading here this morning, because we believe the Bible is the inspired word of God, and these stories are in here for our benefit. So these first three verses of chapter 8 of Luke, and it says, "And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him, and certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, and Johanna, the wife of Chuzza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance." So these people were helping out. I forgot to give the title. I'll just back up. Mary Magdalene's First Easter is what I've titled the message this morning, and I want to use her life and the story of her connection with Jesus. Now, there is some thought that this passage right above this, where this woman washed Jesus' feet with her hair and things, was Mary Magdalene. And I'll leave that because that's not necessarily gospel truth, but you can think about that. But Mary was here. She was the first one on the list, and it's possible that it was because she was the one that was most constantly with him. She had traveled with him, and we will see that she went with him many different places. So I've kind of broken the message down into little sections that we see Mary Magdalene. And this first one I just put in daily service. So she was along. She was traveling with Jesus. She went everywhere. She was there when the disciples were there. It seemed like she was around Galilee, but then we also see her down at Jerusalem. So she had traveled, obviously he had traveled around Capernaum and all these towns in Galilee, but when he went to Jerusalem, she was also there. And it seemed like she gave of whatever finances she had. The town of Magdala was a fishing town, and it seemed like they made out pretty well in their fishing. And maybe she did have some finances, or I don't know, but we do know, or it's been said, that Herod's servant, Johanna, would have been able to financially support this work of Jesus. But what we see here is, I think, Jesus' travel agent. He didn't need to worry about where he was going to sleep. He didn't need to worry about the food he was going to eat. Yes, he had to eat just like everyone else occasionally. And she was the travel agent. She lined up places to stay. She knew what he liked to eat. She probably knew what was time to take care of his laundry or do some mending for him or whatever it was. It seemed like they traveled along and did the things that women do for us and we take for granted every day. Our wives bless us in these areas. But she knew some intimate things about Jesus because she was there with him. She saw him do these things. And I want to make this message practical to us today. And the first one I have down here is that women serve an important role in God's kingdom. As Jesus healed and taught, they were there to bless him in his travels. Yes, he could have had just commanded and a house just appeared out of nowhere for him to sleep in and all these things. But he relied on these women to supply for his physical needs. And it says they did it. They ministered him of their own substance, and they were there to do it. So women have an important role in God's kingdom. They have an important role in our lives, and even for single men and widowers and different people are blessed by having women to serve and bless their lives. The second thing I see here, it's a practical thing, is staying close to Jesus. You're going to know some things about Jesus that other people don't know. When the world says, or liberal Christianity says, what would Jesus do? They think that he would go out and party with them. Or that's almost the implication anyway. But we know some things that about Jesus. Dedicated disciples know that the story of Jesus saying, when somebody offends you, you don't forgive them just 7 times like Peter thought. You don't do it 70 times. You do 490. Just keep, yep, I'm going to forgive. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to forgive. And we need to know we'd love our enemies. I'm sure Mary Magdalene heard that teaching as well. And to swear not at all and do not lust and have mercy on other people and many, many other things. But these are things that if we stay close to Jesus, close to his teaching, we will know these things. And Mary obviously saw and knew these things. Now I want to jump a little further ahead in the story to where we get to Mary. It is very likely that she was at the trial of Jesus. We don't know this for certain, but we see the verse there in Matthew 26, verse 56, where it says that the disciples forsook him and fled. But if we go to Luke 23, verse 26 to 28, In some of these passages, it just mentions the women that were there, but we know that Mary Magdalene was at the cross, so she was probably here as well. So Luke 23, 26 to 28, and they led him away, and they laid hold on Simon of Cyrenian coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus, and there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. So very likely Mary Magdalene was in this crowd of people. So she could have easily seen the trial because they were concerned about this. Obviously, they found out when he was going to the site of the crucifixion there. Otherwise, they would not have been along. So I would say that she very likely was there. But then we see her again at the cross, and I just want to read all four accounts. Matthew 27, verse 56. You do not need to turn to all these. I have tabs in just to make this a little quicker. Matthew 27, verse 56 says, I'll back up just a little bit. So there was the centurion, and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things which were done, and they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. And many women were there, beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Joses, and the mother of Zebedee's children. So that's Matthew's account. Mark also has this. All of these accounts record the women, and Mary Magdalene was there. This is Mark 15, verse 40, where it says, they saw this, truly this man was the Son of God, and there were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James the Less and of Joses and Salome. And it goes on. So Mary Magdalene was at the cross, and we see that again in Luke 23, verse 49. And this verse says, and all his acquaintance and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. And then in John 19, verse 25, we have this again, that the women were there, and there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. So she is recorded as being someone with Jesus in all these gospels. It just inspired me that in every gospel, they mentioned the women were an important part of Jesus' ministry. And we'll get into a little bit about why they felt indebted to him. They were forgiven much. And of course, we kind of mentioned that with the seven devils being cast out of her. But she was there. She witnessed the mockery. She witnessed the beating. She witnessed the unfair trial to her loving master, the person that she cared so deeply about. She had dedicated the rest of her life. She went from being a homeless drug addict, what we would call that, or a devil-possessed woman, to someone that was constantly with Jesus. And she witnessed all these things. She saw firsthand what was happening here. And imagine how much this cruelty and injustice overwhelmed her life. She saw this. She felt the pain. Women are generally more sympathetic than men to these kind of things, and how deeply it must have hurt her to see her Savior, the one that she had spent the last 3 years or however long since her conversion or her healing, following along and seeing this happen, and just how it could have made her angry, what emotions she would have had. But she bravely stayed, even though it was hard to watch, even though it was difficult to deal with. And she probably thought about the mob and how devil-possessed they were acting right then, saying, crucify him, and we would rather Barabbas be released than this man, and all these things. But she was there. She was brave. She did not forsake him and flee. And how do we make this practical to us today? Well, do we serve Christ just when the crowd is around and everybody's saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, and glory to God in the highest, and we're just all praising the Lord? It's pretty easy to serve the Lord then. But do we serve the Lord when we know we might face adversity, or we might be in a difficult situation? I believe this was in the Voice of Martyrs. I ran across this, but this is fairly commonly reported story where I think this was in Russia at the time, where Christianity was banned, that two men dressed as soldiers came in with guns and said, "Everybody that's willing to renounce Christ, step to the left side. Everyone that is willing to die for their faith, step to the right side." And they basically, the implication is they were going to shoot all the ones to the on the left or on the right that were willing to die for their faith. And they dismissed all the people on the left, and they said, "Now we're ready to worship with the true Christians." And, well, the 12 disciples would ended up over here, and we probably would have too. But God had mercy on them. But I think Mary Magdalene would have been on the right side, is my whole point out of this. She was willing to identify with Christ in a very difficult circumstance. Maybe she, as a woman, didn't feel that she was going to get crucified. Maybe that was it. I don't know. But she was willing to be there. Are we brave enough to stand for Christ when it gets challenging? The second thing is, has your heart been stirred by the huge cost that Christ paid for you? You can think about how much she witnessed this great expense that her Lord was giving out of love for these people. And I know we can see this later on when she's at the tomb. She didn't understand everything that was going on. She didn't realize what was happening here, but she realized this huge price that Christ had paid for her. I just was going to read a few verses from Philippians that kind of pulls this out. Philippians 2, verse 5 to 11 talks about that. This, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." So he was up there in heaven. He was right up there at the top, but he just keeps stepping down. "He made himself of no reputation, took on him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, found in fashion as a man, humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Just clear down at the very bottom. And then Christ, God exalted him, and we'll get to that. That's the Easter story, that God brought him back to life and brought him right up to the right hand. Maybe I should continue to read that. "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and every tongue should confess Jesus is Christ, the glory of the Father." So can you see the huge cost that Jesus took to come from heaven and just keep stepping down, 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 down? Well, we see Mary Magdalene at the burial as well. And if I just flip back through these scriptures real quick again, we have Matthew 27, verse 61. And 27, verse 61. So she followed him right from Pilate's hall, basically, up the hill, was there, watched the whole crucifixion, stayed around. When the burial was happening, she was still there. She didn't give up. I don't know. I just think about the amount of maybe hunger and thirst just to stay around and just be there that whole time. And we read these verses, and it was about Joseph of Arimathea, and he went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a linen, clean linen cloth and laid it in his own tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulcher. So then we have the same account in Mark 15, verse 47. It says, "And Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, beheld where he was laid." And this was at the burial. And then we go to the passage in Luke 23, 54 to 56. And it says, "And it was the day of preparation, and Sabbath drew on, and the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after and beheld the sepulchre, how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment." So they took their rest, but they were there and got everything ready and prepared. Oh, I forgot to point out one thing. We see back here, where Joseph and Nicodemus buried Jesus, they used a lot of spices and stuff, and it says that they used 100-pound weight, which was 12 ounces, and the Roman pound was 12 ounces, so that's 75 pound of spices. And I just see that they did it in a hurry. They didn't do it probably the way Mary would have done it, but she was there, and she was going to take care of honoring her Lord later on. So by 3 o'clock, if we follow kind of the Jewish thing, by 3 o'clock, everybody was rushing away from the cross. They were going home. They had this mandatory 24 hours of rest that started at sundown. So they had a few preparations to make, and they were hurrying home, but not Mary. She stayed around. And if she were allowed, she would have been the one that washed Jesus and cleaned him and prepared him for burial in a very diligent way. But she stayed around to the very last, till the stone was rolled shut. And I read in my studies a little bit that they had made note of where this tomb was at. I didn't point that out when I read this, but it's not just a straight line. I guess their little paths and stuff were a little bit like some of the roads that we have around here where they intersect at strange ways and things. That from the tomb, where Joseph's tomb is at, to where Mary likely would have stayed, she would have kind of needed to put some thought into, okay, how are we going to get there at 6 o'clock in the morning when it's still a little bit dark? And we're going to read that where it began to dawn and they went there. So she got to the tomb as early as she could. I could just see her, once that time was up, the mandatory resting of the Sabbath, she was ready to go and back at the tomb to take care of her Lord and do the last respects. Well, what can we learn from this part of Mary's life? Do we lovingly serve others? Do we visit the lonely? Are we the one that's around and stays around to help when everyone else has given up on a situation or doesn't have time? And Mary was there. She took the time to be there. And the second thing I see here is, do we sacrifice some of the blessings that we've been giving, the spices, to show that we care for those who have suffered loss? Well, then we see them at the tomb. This is the joyful part of the resurrection morning. Here in Matthew 28, verse 1 to 10, our brother already read this for our devotional this morning, so I won't reread it, but I will just point out the part here that says, at the end of the Sabbath, it began to dawn toward the first day of the week. So it was still just, the light was first coming in, still dark and hazy, and Mary was up, and Mary and the other Mary, to see the sepulcher. So Mary Magdalene was there. And it doesn't say it in this passage, I don't believe, that they had discussed how they were going to get this stone rolled away. I believe that's in one of the next ones here. We go to Mark 16, verse 1 to 10. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said unto themselves, who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And they looked and saw the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side clothed in a long white garment. And they were affrighted. And they said unto him, He said unto them, be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. For he is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples that he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall you see him, as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now, when Jesus had risen the first day of the week, he appeared unto Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 devils. So she was the very first one. I should have pointed that out. He appeared first unto Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 devils, and she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. And they, when they heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. So Mary was there in that scripture. Luke 24, 1 to 10. Luke always points out the more human side of Christ. It's very interesting how each gospel has a slightly different slant to it. And they all are 10 verses or more telling this story. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulcher, bringing the spices that they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments, and they were afraid, and bowed their faces to the earth, and said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered in the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11 and all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, and Johanna, and Mary the mother of James, and the other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed unto them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran to the sepulchre he had to see for himself. So we see here one more passage, John 20, 1 to 18. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it is yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away. And she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. So this gives a little different aspect to the story, because it sounds like she went back and told Peter before she met the Lord. And they ran together, and the other disciple outrun him, and he stooped down and saw, and we're not talking about Simon Peter here this morning, he saw the napkin and all of that. We're down at verse 11. So Mary stood without the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had laid. And they said unto him, Woman, why weepest thou? And she said unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? And she, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. And we'll save the last little bit of this till the end. But she was at the tomb, and they were worried about this stone. Who's going to roll the stone away? Who's going to be able to help us out? And then when they did get there and he was gone, they were worried about where he was moved to. Maybe our wives are prone to worry more than we are, but it's just thinking about these logistical things that they were dealing with. How are we going to relate to these things? They were people just like us. And they missed what Jesus' prophecy meant. They did not expect Jesus to rise. But I thought it was interesting, in all four of these accounts, you only see the guards and the women were the only ones that saw the angel. Now, another thought that here that we see in Mary Magdalene was just the whole disappointment when she realized that she was not going to have this opportunity to give that last act of respect to her Lord. She really wanted to do that, to have some closure, as we call it. And we see this, that she was the first one to see Jesus. And we're going to just read those verses here. Jesus saith unto her, Mary, and she turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. And Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, that he had spoken these things unto her. You just imagine the emotional change that made in her life, that suddenly Jesus is alive. How exciting that was. And she had this good news to tell, and she ran and quickly told, and we see that in all four accounts. So a couple things, that practical applications that I see in this part, is that we don't need to worry who's going to roll this big stone out of our life. We've got this big stone, this block in our path that we feel like our Christian life is not advancing, or we've got this medical issue, or we've got some stress in our life because of something, this big stone, and there's nothing too big for God. God had already handled it before they even showed up. He took care of it. Now, sometimes we need to deal with stones in our life and stand there and wait till they get rolled away, maybe, or be busy doing other things, but God can take care of these things that we worry about. And the other thing, I think, is where she did not grasp these promises and prophecies that were prophesied throughout all the Old Testament. They were there. She just didn't see them and didn't understand how they applied to her life. And how many times are we like that? That we don't think the promises of God can touch us, or maybe they don't apply to us, or maybe we don't understand a prophecy. Do we dig into God's word, and do we understand what God has for us? And the third thing I see here, is Jesus a necessary part of your life? She felt like when she lost Jesus that everything was hopeless. He was the person, the God. She realized that he was the Son of God. He was the one she had pinned her entire life activities, her hopes, everything was gone. Do you see Jesus as that much a necessary part of your life? Do I see Jesus that way? And do we see Jesus as having saved us from addictions? So we can say, well, we never were like Mary. We never had seven devils. We never had a drug addiction. We never had a problem with this. But yes, we would have. If it wouldn't have been for Jesus in our life, if it wouldn't have been for God blessing us with godly parents and God giving us his word and God doing many, many things for us, we would have been Mary Magdalene. We would have been that person. So do we see that Jesus is a necessary part of our life and what he has saved us from and what joy and what blessing it means to us to have this story? And for Mary, we kind of talked about this earlier, but she walked with him in daily life. Do we have Jesus as a daily part of our life? And she found ways to serve him. Are we finding ways to serve the Lord? Maybe there's big ways to serve the Lord. Maybe there's little ways to serve the Lord. I think she was doing mostly little things in the background, but she was serving the Lord every day. And do we realize how much he had suffered on the cross? And we kind of mentioned that as well. Well, if you serve him, even when others walk away, when you have times of grief and sorrow, you can hear Jesus beside you, behind you. If you hear Jesus' voice, like Mary did here, she was at the tomb, she heard Jesus speak her name, and suddenly everything that she had sacrificed, everything that she had done, suddenly it wasn't a hopeless situation. Suddenly there was joy, there was happiness, there was peace. The perspective completely changed. And when we see that, when we hear Jesus beside us saying, "This is the way, walk you in it," or "I have better plans for you," or "I'm here to take care of it," there are times that we have those moments in our life where Jesus confirms that he is there for us. And at that moment, we have an eternal perspective that makes it all worth it. Let's kneel for prayer.